From the gorgeous confines of Melbourne, Australia, across the USA and 61 countries spanning the globe, Expat Progressive Radio presents The Bill Show with Bill and Randall. Now fasten your seatbelts, kids, because here are the loudest fat lefties on the net, Bill and Randy.
Start spreading the news.
And welcome to the Bill Show. And we are coming to you after the New York primary. I'd like to introduce my partner in crime, Mr. Randall
Dillon. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, Liza. Thanks for stopping by. We get all the big stars in here, don't we, Bill?
Yeah, we do, Randall. And it's been such a fun primary for us.
It's been a primary, hasn't it?
It has been. It's.
Oh, that
it's,
sounds like Homer Simpson. Is he here too?
No. It is a primary, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen. So what we're doing today is we're actually talking a bit about the primary, going over exactly all the things that have gone crazily wrong for the first two people we want to talk about today. Of course, are Donald Trump and Ted Cruz.
Aww.
So that's the cue for our fantastic thing, which is our intro to the Trump Cruz terrifying fight in Manhattan. Here it is.
You are the single biggest liar.
Donald, you're a sniveling coward.
And now it's time for the Bill Show's Battle of the Assholes. Yes, Randy! Oh,
what?
My God. That was a fart. There was a loud fart.
Oh, in the sound
Randy.
Effects, yeah.
In the sound
oh,
effects,
Donald,
there was a loud
oh,
fart.
Oh, Donald, you're a sniveling
scary.
Coward. Donald? Donald, you're a sniveling coward.
I love your Ted Cruz.
Oh, but all I just do is sound like I'm just talking like a little woman.
I heard Ted Kasich, you know, the guy that's hanging in there by one fingernail. And young Ted said, people come up to me and they say, well, you know, there's Coke, there's Pepsi, and there's Kasich. There's Coke, there's Pepsi, and there's Kasich. He must have said that about 1,000 times. There's Coke, there's Pepsi, and there's Kasich. So I'm just giving them a choice.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, I Don thought of that one on the bathroom. It was sitting there on the toilet. He went, what's yeah. funnier?
There's Dove. There's Palmolive Gold, and there's Kasich. There's Cheerios. There's shredded wheat, and there's Kasich.
That's right. It's word association with
word food. With junk
that's
food.
That's what they do instead of have sex.
With junk food. Okay. There's a Whopper. There's a Big Mac, and there's Kasich.
He's going through his numbers next week, so we can all be very happy.
He's
going
to hang in there, expecting to
census.
Get it when those two explode.
I don't know. I think that Kasich is on the way to explosion, and I think Ted Cruz is the aftermath of a very bad explosion. So we're going to go right into it, folks. Basically, it was
the killer assholes. Oh, sorry. I love to sing.
It was. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was the attack of the killer assholes in New York, ladies and gentlemen, because Donald Trump. That's right. Donald Trump won 60% of the vote in New York. Ted Cruz, who everyone likes to think is somebody who will catch him.
Like a cold. Like a clap.
Like a good joke. I still have a chance.
No, it's New York values. No. It was just New York values.
Ted Cruz, I'm sorry, Ted. Everybody hates you. Even your own people.
Even
hate
Heidi
you.
Hates me. Even Heidi hates me and my daughters.
Yeah, did you see you saw, of course, the video of Ted Cruz's daughter saying, don't touch me?
Oh, yeah, don't kiss me. But what about the one where
get
he says, where she told everybody about how daddy's, daddy put on a funny hat and we took a video and they're selling the video at the school? And he paled. Oh, there was just one of those little, moments with the two daughters and Heidi.
Because it sounds really creepy. It just sounds creepy. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about the height of killer assholeness. Of course, we're talking about Donald Trump. Donald was up there in upper New York State and delivering a heartfelt, wonderful, wonderful speech about how he really was, 9/11 meant a lot to him. It meant so much that he got 9/11 wrong. Here it is.
I think what I want to do is I want to talk just for a second. I wrote this out, and it's very close to my heart because I was down there, and I watch our police and our firemen down at 7-Eleven.
Yeah, he was down at the 7-Eleven.
Down at 7-Eleven getting a Krispy Kreme. Oh, dear. Poor Donald. And he never corrected himself.
You know, I really care about that 7-Eleven. What is it again? What is it again?
And then he went further. And this is absolutely fantastic to me, Randy. He actually went further. He said, after saying that he was actually thinking of buying a Slurpee when he was talking about 9/11.
Oh,
then he went further. Then he went further, and he made a claim that is just absolutely amazing. Here, have a listen to this.
These people were going through terror, and you know what happened. Everyone who helped clear the rubble, and I was there, and I watched, and I helped a little bit.
He helped clean up 9/11, Randall.
I felt like a Slurpee. I wanted a Slurpee. That's why I thought of 7-Eleven, because that's what they have, the Slurpee.
I was on my way to 7-Eleven. Then I was at 9/11. I helped them clean up.
But Bill, maybe our listeners don't realize, but for us it's 12/9.
Yeah.
9/11, because we do our dates the other way around, it's either 11/9 or 12/9.
Yes, that's because we live in Australia.
It doesn't have the same ring to it.
Which has nothing to do with this story whatsoever.
Well, it does. The whole rest of the world does their dates the other way around.
Yeah.
So 9/11
is fascinating.
Sorry. Lynn. Lynn in Gooseneck.
I was more interested in the fact that Donald Trump was saying that he helped in clean up the rubble at 9/11. But there you go.
Well, listen, Ground Zero. I was the one that called it Ground Zero. I said, this looks like Ground Zero.
Where can I get a Slurpee? We will basically go forth now. Ted Cruz.
Who?
The guy everyone likes.
Who?
Ted Cruz.
Mr. Backing, the face that needs to be punched.
The face that needs to be punched. What did you call it? Schadenfreude or something like that?
It's like that. It's backengeschnickte.
Okay. There's a German word for somebody who really, when you meet him, you just want to punch him.
Yeah.
Ladies
well, that's
and gentlemen.
Ted. And if you look up in the dictionary, Ted's picture's there.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. And the most punchable candidate in the Republican Party got a vote of confidence this week before the New York primary from Representative Peter King, the Republican from New York. This is what he said on Morning Joe.
New York.
He loves him.
Congressman, congratulations on your new chairman position. Here's actually a quote from Congressman King about Ted Cruz. Any New Yorker who even thinks of voting for Ted Cruz should have their head examined.
Okay, well, this is a little turnabout.
So wait a minute. What happens tonight on the Republican side? How big does Donald Trump win,
by the way? Well, first of all, in case anybody gets confused, I am not endorsing Ted Cruz. I hate Ted Cruz. And I think I'll take cyanide if he ever got the nomination. Now, having said that.
Wow.
Yes, Randy. Yes, Randy, Representative Peter King of New York will take cyanide like Hitler.
Ah, the smell of bitter almonds.
And all we can say is, run, Ted.
Yes, because please.
That way we get two birds with one stone.
Yeah,
two for one. Double play for us.
Look, Peter King, I honestly think there'll be a lot of people joining you.
We're all
going to drink the Kool-Aid if Ted Cruz gets elected.
Even though I can't stand Peter King, you've got to admit, as a human being, that you kind of get where he's coming from.
Absolutely. Well, Ted Cruz put his foot in it, both feet in it, about 2 months ago with his New York values statement.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump is a favorite son. So really, It's not that surprising.
Well, it's also not surprising because one of the reasons that King hates Cruz is a very good one, actually. While Cruz is, this came from Huffington Post, while Cruz has rubbed many of his Republican colleagues the wrong way, King has long butted heads with a Texas senator who voted against a bill to provide aid to the victims of Hurricane Sandy.
Oh, that's right. And then wanted flood aid for Texas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know why? Because Ted is an asshole.
Oh, what part of asshole isn't, don't you understand?
Yeah. Ted is a large opening in your butt and has been since he was in college. He's
you
just
ask Peter Manning. Ask Peter Manning about that. Now, I'll tell you, Bill.
Yes.
It just came out this week, of course, that all counties in Texas have voted to secede from the Southern 48.
Yeah.
So, now, what's going to happen? Are they just going to come back cap in hand? Begging for foreign aid or something?
Texas, no. Don't hit Oklahoma on your way out. That's my view.
Well, I was going to say, let's build the wall then.
Yeah, fine.
All up and around the top and the panhandle and down to Louisiana.
Yeah.
Let's build the wall then to keep the fucking Texans out.
Absolutely. There's a wonderful moment in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory where Gene Wilder goes, no, wait. Please, don't.
No, stop. Don't jump. Yeah, no, don't jump. And what happens if Ted Cruz gets elected president and his own state secedes from the Union?
Yeah.
Are they gonna say,
but that's not gonna happen, Randy.
Let's just have fun with hypotheticals.
But that's in your fantasy life. So we don't go on too long. I'm gonna go forth with something that I am really actually need to share.
Bill goes forth.
I need to share this. Because being a Bernie supporter and being a person that donates to Bernie, his phone bank for Bernie and stuff like that, from over here and voted for Bernie. I have some interesting observations as to the last day or so since Hillary won her huge victory over Sanders, double-digit victory in New York, okay?
Yeah.
And I want to share this with you.
And she's a favorite son as well, yeah.
And she is. But I want to share this with you because I actually went into Facebook land. During that time, and I wanted to.
And you made your way back. Did you leave a trail of breadcrumbs?
I barely made my way back, and I went into Facebook land to try to explain, with absolutely, totally factually, why I have a problem with Hillary Clinton, and why, for me as a Bernie guy, I think he should stay in the race. And I was immediately attacked. I mean, and I was not in any way kind of thing. What the genesis of this was that I found that the Hillary congregation is kind of culty, and that's why I have made this
I have made this
special introduction, and here it is. And now it's time for Adventures into the Cult of Hillary.
Well, she turned me into a newt.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Bill Show's Voyage into the Cult of Hillary, and
The cult of Clinton, yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, I went there and I barely lived to tell the tale.
This is getting kind of like, you know, J.M. Barrie.
This is a voyage into someplace I'd never been before. So anyway, the story goes exactly like this. I was actually, I have some very good friends that actually are Hillary supporters, and they're smart, intelligent, decent people, and I like them. And but a lot of people have been dropping me notes why are you for Bernie and why will you still go for Bernie even if he loses New York? And I sat there and said, okay, well, one of the problems I have with Clinton on a very factual basis is the obvious conflict of interest that Hillary has, okay? And this is based on a report that Glenn Greenwald came out with in The Intercept. Now, Glenn Greenwald, as you know, is the award-winning reporter from The Guardian who broke the Snowden story. Okay, and his site came out with a report on Hillary taking money. Now, we've talked a little bit about taking money, but this was, I think, a very flagrant example of a conflict of interest.
Are these the arms deals?
No, these aren't the arms deals. This is something we covered on the last show. And the simple fact of the matter is that in 92, Hillary was very much in favor of a single-payer system. Now, this is, a lot of people would say this is a...
Based on Australian correct. Medicare.
A lot of people say, well, that's ancient history. Well, there's a reason why Hillary changed her position on this from single payer to a public option to private industry health. Greenwald said in The Intercept, this went like this. Single payer, the Canadian-style system in which the government pays for universal health, which we have here in Australia, takes the health insurance industry out of the picture. It saves huge amounts of money. And the health insurance industry has become so rich and powerful now in America that they would never allow it to happen. That was Clinton's position in the early 90s. But in ensuing years, both the Clintons have taken millions of dollars in speaking fees from the healthcare industry. And according to public disclosures, Hillary Clinton alone, from the years 2013 to 2015, right about the time in which she changed her position on there being a public option or private health, to private health, she took from these companies $2,847,000 for 13 paid speeches lasting 40 minutes each. Now, for me, anyone who sees that fact would at least admit that this is a flagrant conflict of interest, right?
Yeah.
Don't you think? Because, you know, that's the thing, Randy, when people give me $2,847,000, I like them. So I didn't think this was too controversial. Is it legal? Yes, it is. But it's also why we think our system is corrupt. So I went to the interwebs, and I went to one of the Facebook groups that I'm familiar with. It's supposed to cater to all Democrats. And I got on there, and I posted this. And I said, look, this is one of the reasons I have a problem with Hillary as a candidate as opposed to Bernie, who takes public funding. And I was very polite, and I just posted the article. I said, here, have a read. And I thought some people would read it and go, wait a minute, that is kind of strange. This is what I received in response. Number one, from a woman. Okay, here it is. She makes money from speeches because people want, misspelled, to hear what she has to say. She donates the money. There is nothing wrong, misspelled, with making money. She doesn't donate the money. She donates some of the money, but not all of it. And I still don't like her making $10 million. The next one.
Only enough to make it tax neutral. Yes.
Then the comment, her fees are used to help other Democrats. And the explanation marks are all over the place. Other Democrats in the Clinton Foundation, which does much to help people all over the world. Well, this does not talk about money made for the Clinton Foundation. She doesn't donate this to the Clinton Foundation. She keeps it. Okay. There is a whole other set of corporate people who donate to the Clinton Foundation, so she didn't obviously read the article. Clinton has worked her entire adult life for women and children and the disadvantaged. Well, that's open to skeptical, you know, sometimes. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Yeah. I support anybody with that much accomplishment on her resume, which completely belays the question whatsoever. Then we go on. I say, if you read the article, I was not talking about donations to the Clinton Foundation, what I just said. And then it came from a guy. I received millions from AT&T over the years. It's called working! You agree to do a task for certain people who'll pay for you. Then you move on to the next job. Mm. Now, here's where it gets great. Assuming there is any more to the relationship than that is nothing more than projecting my own fears and insecurities on others.
Bill, I think stop listening to them.
But it gets stranger. Trust me on this. I said, Philip, do you actually make between $100,000 and $200,000 an hour for 40 minutes of work? Wow, that's impressive.
I didn't think AT&T paid that much.
And then he came back with, so you're complaining that she makes more than an hour than you. No, I'm not. I'm saying that getting that money from people that you have to regulate shows a conflict of interest.
People who live in solid gold houses shouldn't throw...
Then a woman came on and said, it seems to me you're being nothing but jealousy for the old boy, in quotation marks, feelings of a misguided idea that when women belong in the kitchen. What?
What?
I'm not sexist because I drew attention to a conflict of interest with facts. I'm not sexist.
No.
It's not, it's absolutely...
They just can't stand criticism, Bill.
But that's exactly what they
Bill.
Come back to when they can't make their point. They go back to the idea that anyone with a dick wants to hurt them. You know?
Even the men, there's a special
cadre in the Hillary campaign. I swear to God, and you can call me sexist all you want, I'm not, but there is a sisterhood out there that if you say anything against her, oh my God, it's like you're with three 14-year-old girls at a friggin' mall. You know?
At 7-Eleven.
I heard you said something bad about her. You know, you said, oh, we're going to get you.
It's just like, what are you?
Well, you know, you remember that ad she ran really early on in her campaign in 2015 called Faces. You know, this is the face of a 61-year-old woman, and I'm there. Hear me roar. And that whole thing was, well-timed and well-played Hillary.
It's just this cult of personality. Yeah. And then we go further. As I mentioned conflict of interest again, the guy comes back on and says, well, maybe we want a conflict of interest. We like open bribery. That's good. I swear to God. And then I just got... And then I basically got fed up with the fact that basically I was criticizing Hillary because of my own personal jealousy for the amount of money she makes, which is absurd. And then finally I just sat there and said, look, stop acting like I just dissed your girlfriend. It is...
Monica Lewinsky turned 50 this week.
Let me just clarify something to people and... I want you to know this. We don't like Bernie just because it's cute, or we want to wear tie-dye shirts, or we like demonstrations, or we want to hang out with the kids.
Or he only has one pair of shoes.
We like Bernie because we like his policies. We like the fact that he's honest. We like the fact that basically he doesn't take money from special interests. He doesn't take money. And if you're upset with us because your candidate is somehow flawed... It's not my fault. It's not my fault that Hillary decided, and this is Jimmy Dore said this too, it's not my fault that Hillary decided to go to war and react. It's not my fault that your candidate takes money hand over fist from corporate entities that she's supposed to regulate as president. It's not my fault that she screwed up and went into Libya and it was a fiasco. It's not my fault that she didn't come to the table on gay rights until 10 years after Bernie did. It's not my fault that your candidate looks as if she's a corporate tool. That's not my fault. That's the candidate that you support.
Exactly. Bill, did you see the picture of the two of them standing there? And Bernie's there in his old blue suit.
That's right.
He only owns one and one pair of shoes. And did you see that her jacket had all the logos on it for Goldman Sachs and everything like a Formula One driver.
It's true. Yeah.
Did you see that?
I've seen that.
Did you see that? That's it. That's it in a picture.
She's gonna, and one of the arguments that they're using out there is that we should stop criticizing Hillary because Donald Trump hasn't thought of these things to say. You think Donald Trump hasn't thought of the fact that you're a corporate tool? That's what she's going to, what he's going to run against you on is that. And that's why you're a lousy candidate for this time. Because you may think that you have it in the bag, but you don't. And I've got a contention that I really want to throw out to you, Randy. When Hillary's campaign got dirty on Sanders doing the hit job in the New York Daily News, and then saying some reason that
he was responsible for Sandy Hook.
He had to apologize to the parents and people of Sandy Hook. You know,
he has blood on his hands.
They made a political calculation. They saw the Republicans self-destructing, and they came to the conclusion that they don't need us. That if they offend Bernie's people, fuck them. And I was completely, this completely came home. And I thought this, and then I got this from Politico. In Politico's morning recap of yesterday's New York primary, in which Hillary Clinton trounced Bernie Sanders.
The words.
Reporter Glenn Thrush recounts a conversation he had with a senior Clinton aide. "We kicked his ass tonight," a senior Clinton aide told me Tuesday night. "I hope this convinces Bernie to tone it down. If not, fuck them." Listen.
So they won big because Bernie
The thing that you can look, they don't care about us. They made a decision before they came in New York that they were going to lay waste and fight the dirty fight and smear Sanders. And that's exactly what they did. And they knew that would piss off everybody on this side of the aisle, but they did it anyway. You know why? Fuck them. So you should.
Did you see the debate? And when Bernie said some good things for her, and he kept talking a bit over his bell because he wanted to get a point across, and she was going, "Oh, it's my turn, it's my turn." And then she came up and she said, "I'm for the $15 an hour minimum wage." Boo! Well,
everybody knows it's bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, it's totally it's bullshit.
And that was the audience booing.
Well, it's true. I mean, the point is that Hillary is a political opportunist. Look, I want to prove this for you in a very, very simple way. By playing you one of the ads that Hillary Clinton is going to be running against Bernie Sanders in Connecticut. Here it is. It's called My Mom.
My wedding was one of the last things I planned with my mom. It was a very bittersweet day because it's just all one big reminder of the giant hole where she used to be. My mom was my best friend. She was the principal of Sandy Hook School. My mom was murdered while trying to protect the children in her care from a gunman. No more families should have to go through what we have. Hillary Clinton is the only candidate that has what it takes to take on the gun lobby. No one is fighting harder to reform our gun laws than Hillary. She reminds me of my mother. She isn't scared of anything. And that's how I know that she is the person that can actually make a difference. That's why I believe in her. That's why millions of other Americans believe in her. There's finally someone who can change things.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I approve this message.
Now, that's a very emotional, purposely so, ad featuring the daughter of a teacher at Sandy Hook who had died. It is based on an attack that was leveled by the Clinton people in New York that Bernie Sanders should apologize to the parents of 9/11 victims. Because
Sandy Hook victims.
Sandy Hook victims.
7/11 victims.
Of Sandy Hook victims. He should apologize because he doesn't believe that gun shop owners should be able to have to be sued. This was a scurrilous charge. It was a disgusting charge. Bernie is not a gun nut. He has a D- from the NRA, and he sought to ban every single gun that was used at Sandy Hook. Yet the Clinton campaign really kind of found this woman and decided to use her politically. I thought it was a disgusting piece of work.
Absolutely.
The commercial seeks to tug on your heartstrings, but I don't know what it has to say. But it seems to be saying that Hillary has always been rock solid on guns. Okay? Here's a 2008 robocall that Clinton used against Obama during their campaign.
Hello, this is Hillary Clinton for president calling. Barack Obama is not telling the truth about his past position on the Second Amendment. As an Illinois state senator, he supported a ban on all handguns, and he even personally filled out a questionnaire saying he supported the ban. Now, instead of telling you the truth about that, he's trying to cover it up, saying he never saw the questionnaire, even though his handwriting was on it. And Obama voted to give millions of dollars to anti-gun organizations that are trying to take away our gun rights. This is just another example of Barack Obama saying one thing and doing another. And yet another issue John McCain will use against Obama to win in November.
This call is paid for by Hillary Clinton for President, 215-625-0329, 520 North Delaware Avenue, Suite 202, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19123.
So which is it, Hillary? In 2008, you were saying that Obama was too tough on guns and you were defending gun rights. That's with you in 2008. Now, you're like mother superior of kind of defending people against the gun manufacturers. You know what it is, Hillary? The problem is that you say anything that comes into your head at the particular moment that suits you. She's a hypocrite. That's my point. Nothing to do with her being a woman. My point is that she's a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm.
She ran against Obama on guns, and now she's going after Bernie.
Sanders Hook. See, it sounds the same. Sanders Hook.
Yeah,
there's an association there.
Yeah, but she's going after Bernie for being some sort of gun nut. When in 2008. She ran against Obama because she was defending her rights to have guns.
Yeah.
You know, you can't have it both ways, Hillary. And so the people that are coming up to you now and saying that you're some sort of saint on guns actually really don't know the full story about your past. Yeah. But you have done this time and time again. And now you mentioned the vagina card. Let me tell you something. I don't judge the person I want to be president of the United States on whether or not they have a fucking vagina.
They do. They do.
Well, look.
She's played that card before.
I know. But it just, you know, look. Margaret Thatcher had a vagina. I wasn't crazy about her either. And that does not mean that I hate women. I mean, for Christ's sake, grow up.
Look, really? I'm playing your devil's advocate for your friend there who was arguing with you.
Well, no, I was sitting there going, listen, find something to do. Go care for your cats. Stop hating men so much that you think that any man that dares to vote against Hillary Clinton is a sexist. This
or
idea,
misogynist.
Do you remember the last couple of shows in which we played a clip in which Gloria Steinem made Bernie an honorary woman?
I got a guy try to do that to me once.
Yes, I know, but that was in prison.
Oh, no!
No, I went there. I did. I went there. Okay. So anyway, that was my experience in Hillary land. As to whether we are going to bow out of this tournament, no.
No,
I'm sorry
not.
I'm sorry if everyone voting is inconvenient for you.
Okay. Can I make a suggestion, Bill?
What?
People are saying, Bernie, you should drop out and run as an independent. No.
I don't think he's going to, because
you'll get all the independent votes. No. That's how the Democratic Party got split last time. If Bernie runs, he will get the independent votes anyway.
Yeah, but he's not going to run in third party. He's told
No, I know
that.
He's not. But that's what people are suggesting he do.
Well, I actually disagree with that. I don't think that will do as much for us. You see, the great thing about Bernie is that he's about issues.
Yeah.
He's not, it's not about, they think that this is just a campaign, and now they're turning to Bernie and saying, all right, wink, wink, calm down, you know, we'll give you Secretary of the Treasury, we'll give you something in the new administration. Bernie doesn't want anything in the new administration.
No, he doesn't. If anything, he'll go back to the Senate.
Yeah, but they can't get their head around the fact that somebody isn't as cynical as they are. And the simple fact of the matter is Bernie's keeping in the race because he wants to draw attention to the issues that concern him. I want a commitment from Hillary Clinton that before they appoint another Supreme Court judge, a litmus test is that they will vote against Citizens United. I want a commitment from Hillary Clinton that she maintains an opposition to trade agreements because she wasn't against the TPP until she was dragged there by us. Kicking and screaming. I want a commitment from this administration that that you guys consider a carbon tax in the United States. You guys pay $1 per gallon for gas. We pay $3. It's just absolutely insane for you guys who, you
know. It's more like $4.50.
But yeah. I mean, we pay $4.50 a gallon, and you guys are paying like $1 a gallon. And that's why the Americans drive these goddamn outrageous Hummers all over the place. You're the second largest emitter of fossil fuels. There's more that you can do. And I don't accept the fact, because in 30 years, if you look at the NASA climate change reports, your kids are going to be living in a hellscape. I mean, a fucking hellscape.
Absolutely.
You know, I want you to institute a tax on the speculation on Wall Street. It will slow down the stop-loss trades that you have on Wall Street that contributed to the 2008 financial crisis, and you'll be able to pay for free education if you do it. I fail to see the problem here. You know, and I'll tell you something that I think totally is that you will never hear Hillary talk about the TPP or bank regulation or any of that stuff she was talking about early in the primary during the debates with Bernie.
Or the KY pipeline, which she was for and then
Keystone
against.
Keystone pipeline, yeah. She will not talk about those subjects because you know why? She said what we wanted to hear. And now Bernie's gone. And once Bernie's gone, she will not be regulating the banks you'll get it. Randall, that we need to behave like a movement, not a simple presidential, you know, campaign. You know.
Yes. Well, I hope he hangs in there regardless.
Mm. Yeah, I hope.
Just
I
to
hope
see
he
what
does.
Happens.
I think he will. So, listen, that's about all I wanted to go on with, since I've talked forever. So we're going to come back in just a minute with.
I don't know, what is it.
Good cue. It's coming back with Randy's Rant, ladies
and
gentlemen.
Now let's add a little comedy.
I'm going to put some comedy on right now. You brought something in for us today. What
I did,
was it?
Yeah. Okay, it's they recently had a thing on Broadway called Disaster! Exclamation point, which was a montage show to raise money. For whatever good causes, AIDS research, etc. Right. Well, Rosie O'Donnell, who's a sometimes Broadway producer, she came on and Broadway star. She was in Greece. She came on, and as you know, she's a popular target along with Megyn Kelly of one Donald Trump. And she was asked if she wanted to have a little something in the show. And here's Rosie O'Donnell in the Disaster Show on Broadway about a week and a half ago.
We'll be back in just one moment.
In your face, all over the place.
We're online 24/7. 24/7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
When you told me, you know, when Seth said, would you do something at Disaster? I feel like, you know, what's the biggest disaster? And, you know, he's been doing this to me for 8 years. You guys don't like it too much either, do you? Oh, it's not quite so funny now.
guys.
How does a bastard orphan son of a foreign Scotsman dropped in the middle of a forgotten spot in the Caribbean by Providence impoverishes power, grow up to be a hero and a scholar? Here comes a lady from the upstairs lounge, and she is walking downtown real bad. That doesn't rhyme, I don't know what I'm... Okay, here we go. What's that, babe? Oh, you think mommy can't see this? Well, you're probably right. There you go. 54. How are you? 54. I have a new baby. What the hell was I thinking? There are worse things I could do. And I'll now name one or two. These are things he said or done. Just sit back. Let's have some fun as I list them all for you. All the things I'd never do. I could build a giant wall. Mexico pays for it all. And repeal Obamacare. Do that weird thing with my hair. It's a comb over, it's true. That's a thing I'd never do. Hold it, page turn. Get endorsements from the Klan. Brag about my tiny hands. Ban all Muslims coming in and have bright orange skin. That's a shade I eschew. That apparently means you don't really like. It's an SAT word. But it rhymed, so I thought we would go with it. Tell Ted Cruz I'll spill the beans. Remember he said that about the wife? We still don't know what the f*** he means. Have my words incite hate crimes. Declare bankruptcy 4 times. Tell the Taj Mahal, screw you.
Gentlemen, it's time to keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times, because it's time for another episode of Randy's Rant.
I'm really ranting today.
Oh, you are. That's very ranting. Oh, my God. Randy, yeah? Somebody's at the door.
We should open. It might be Val.
I'll go see who it is. Yeah, I don't know. Let's see who it is.
I'm going to preach against the sodomite maker, Barack Hussein Obama.
Slam the door.
The son of Satan. I'm going to become a sodomite slayer like James David Manning up there in Harlem, New York City. I'm going to become a sodomite slayer. Otherwise, you're going to have a flame coming out of your butthole.
Oh my God. Oh, my God.
That wasn't contrived.
No, that was Pastor Manning. Actually,
Pastor Manning of the Atlanta Church in Brooklyn.
Yes, he was.
In Harlem.
We've hired him. Yeah. We've hired him.
He's a favorite of ours.
Yeah, no, really, we've hired him here at the Bill Show Studios. He's actually our receptionist.
You ain't heard nothing yet. You think age was bad? You wait.
The strange thing is, Randy, when he came in just now, he was wearing a dress. He is. He's a very attractive man. We put him out there because, you know, you really want to put...
He's very well dressed.
He is very well dressed.
He's very well... Yeah, he has a little TV channel.
Yeah, it does have a TV channel, but yeah, gosh okay. knows when Pastor Manning might come in again. Anyway.
Okay, back to the show. Okay, it's Randall's Rant. Randy's Rant. Now, listen, Bill, mm-hmm. I wanted to have a refresher. I wanted to visit a common theme. I'm going to get on my high pulpit on the horse.
Okay, don't fall off.
And give everybody a reminder that America is not a Christian nation, okay? Mm-hmm. However, it is incredibly self-righteous.
Yes.
Now, as we know, self-righteous is when one is confident in one's own righteousness, especially when smugly moralistic and intolerant of the opinions and behaviors of others. Mm. Sounds like Hillary supporters. Anyway, I realize now when I saw a comment from Ted Cruz where he was having a prayer meeting, they surrounded the White House holding hands. Ted Cruz says, I am a Christian first and an American second.
Oh, okay.
Now, if you imagine a Jewish or a Muslim politician saying that, yeah. I don't think yeah. so. But him just saying that
yeah.
bothers me as a person who believes there should be such a separation of church and state
yeah.
that God does not have a seat at the cabinet table.
Well, that's right.
I saw another joke, too. I asked God for a bike, but I know God doesn't work that way. So I stole a bike instead and asked for forgiveness. I guess you had to
yeah,
be there.
Yeah, thank you.
Anyway, I've got a comment.
The kids love that. And they,
oh, yeah,
they
come are. On now.
What do you think of the joke, kids? What do you think of the joke?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, wait a minute, I'm sorry. Someone's at the door. Someone's at the door again. Pastor Manning, what did you think of that joke?
You heard me 8 years ago when I told you about Obama, the son of Satan, the son of a sack of white trash. You heard me 8 years ago, and you ignored me. Well, you ignore me now, God will destroy you.
Now, to support my rant, I'd like
that
to...
That was Pastor Manning, by the way. That was yeah, Pastor Manning.
He's my favorite. He's my
favorite.
I'm going to go to the Outlet Church. I want to go to the Outlet Church of Harlem from now
Thank
on.
Thank you.
Now, but I won't be able to sit down.
Okay.
But the point is that I've got a few people who want to support this argument. The first of which is a good friend of mine, Barack Obama. Now, he actually said this during his election campaign in 2008. Mm-hmm. And it is the antithesis of what Ted Cruz said.
Right.
So let's hear from our good friend, Barack.
Barack Obama.
Whatever we once were, we are no longer a Christian nation, at least not just. We are also a Jewish nation, a Muslim nation, and a Buddhist nation, and a Hindu nation, and a nation of non-believers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, that clip, which is now yeah. nearly 8 years old,
yeah.
is still being played by the people who swear he's a Muslim. Now, I never heard heard him say, I'm a Muslim, unless you play it backwards. Yeah. But I'm a Muslim.
Well,
I'm a Muslim.
First of all, Randy, everybody who thinks he's a Muslim is an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, they're walking, talking, punching an
You'll find
idiot.
That this clip is still being yeah. shared around by people.
Who are upset about that.
Yeah, that he's not a...
Well, I'm sorry.
That we are not a Christian you know, nation, and that we are not... you know, the Bible is not the thing was yeah. sworn. I wonder if Bernie, when he
yeah,
wins,
yeah, but I didn't. You know, I don't know why they're upset. I didn't say it. James Madison yeah. said it,
and tell me,
Thomas Jefferson said it. Ben yeah. Franklin said it. You know, if you want to love America, you've got to love all of it, and that includes separation of church and
exactly.
state. So,
and is Bernie going to hold a Torah?
What?
Is
a Torah?
Yeah, when he swears in, you know the, yes, the Jews here in Australia,
yeah,
when they do their
yeah.
affirmation,
yeah.
they hold a Torah, and one Muslim held a Quran.
Yeah,
you're just swearing on the book that you hold dear. You know,
look, as far as I'm concerned, Randy, he can swear himself in on a piece of lawn furniture.
I would actually use Lord of the Rings.
I don't believe
that. I'm swearing on Lord of the Rings. Actually, I.
On Lord of the yeah. Rings. Okay. I'd swear in on the Cat in the Hat.
Oh, of course you would. Thing one and thing two will be right there as your aides. Okay.
Absolutely.
Here's something for you now. This is, I got this just, I rang him up. He's a good mate of mine. And I asked Will McAvoy, to give us some words on America as a Christian nation.
You mean the fictional character from the Aaron Sorkin
what do you mean,
television
fictional?
Series
What, you, what are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Randy lives. Randy lives.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
In a progressive fairyland.
Anyway, let's listen to Will, my favorite person.
Okay, Will McAvoy from the newsroom.
In Tea Party rallies and campaign speeches, we've been told that America was founded as a Christian nation, and that if the founding fathers were here today, they'd tell us so. Here's John Adams in the Treaty of Tripoli. As the government of the United States is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion. And here's Thomas Jefferson. That our civil rights have no dependence on our religious opinions. And here's the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. What's more frightening than the perversion of our great history is that sensible, smart, strong Republicans, the very men and women who should be standing up to radical fundamentalism, are so frightened of losing primary battles to religious zealots that they've thrown in the towel on sanity. So we get this.
Yes, that the Constitution established the United States of America as a Christian nation.
It's ironic because the biggest enemy of the phony Republican isn't Nancy Pelosi or Harry Reid or Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama. It's this man. He said, heal the sick, feed the hungry, care for the weakest among us, and always pray in private.
That fictional character is right.
Yeah, the fictional character. Yeah. And, of course, the person he talks about at the end is Jesus, who said, you know, feed the poor and pray in private. You know, don't wear your religion on your sleeve is what he was trying to say. Yes, Will McAvoy, of course, is the embodiment of Aaron Sorkin, who wrote many things, including The West Wing. And and I just think that his words ring so true with what's going on four years later.
Can I raise my hand just for a minute?
Yeah, sorry.
Because there's something that don't apologize. I'm butting in on your thing. But the actual truth. No. The actual truth is that the people you're talking about, Republicans in the last 2 weeks have sought to pass a bill that tosses literally thousands of kids off of free lunches at school.
Because they don't say grace.
No, it was just like Christ said, feed the hungry.
Yeah.
I guess that really
is not. Well,
they're
just going down their list and ticking them off. You know, it's like that woman that said, you know, the reason I prayed to God as to why God is allowing all these shootings in schools. And God came back to me and he said, because you're not allowing me in schools anymore. Like, he's holding us fucking hostage? For goodness sake. Prayer in school is not going to stop these gun jobs.
But what is your vision of God? Somebody who would use blackmail of the deaths of your children.
Vindictive God. Well, look, he drowned 99.999% of everybody with a flood because that was his way of pressing the reset button. For goodness sake.
Well, listen, after reading the Old Testament, you've got to come to the conclusion that the Christian God's rather cranky.
Well, if I'd had to marry my sister because her husband died, I wouldn't have been very happy either.
Yeah.
Now, I've got another one here. This woman, sorry, I shouldn't just say that. I mean, I'm not denigrating her sex. But Cheryl Chumley wrote a book called The Devil in D.C. The Devil in D.C. She was recently interviewed, and the question was, is Christianity under attack in America? And but this is her response.
No. Okay. This is Cheryl's thoughts on whether she's a victim or not. 10-1, I'll bet she thinks she is.
Of course she is.
Here it is on the Bill Show.
Christianity, of course, is under attack in this nation. If you dispute that, then you're just not paying attention to what's going on. You have your head in the sand. If you look anywhere in the news on a daily basis, you will see examples of Christianity under attack. When you can't wear a cross to school around your neck because your teacher says that school policy doesn't allow it, and yet they'll teach 50 Shades of Grey sexually graphic words as a word crossword puzzle to you, something's wrong. Christianity is under attack. If you look at what just happened to the Kentucky court clerk who just didn't want to sign off on gay marriages because it went against her Christian beliefs, and the chaos that befell, and you know what she suffered, Christianity is under attack. If you look at what happened in the Supreme Court just recently, granting gays the right to marry as if that was something that American people actually voted for and wanted all across our nation, Christianity is under attack. So to dispute the fact that Christianity is under attack is defying the reality of what our nation is facing right now.
What the fuck is she talking about? Not wearing crosses to school? I teach in a school. No one teaches 50 Shades of Grey. What are you babbling about, stupid woman?
It was a word search. I actually looked it up. It was a word search based on the bestsellers on the New York Times bestseller list that week. So it wasn't graphic words. It was simply the title was in this word search.
The title of the book, 50 Shades of Grey, was in a word search, and that's what she has her knickers about?
Absolutely.
Her justification because everyone hates Christians?
That's it.
You're a moron. You're not entitled. Stop it. You're not entitled. Every fucking presidential candidate has to say that they're a good Christian, except Bernie, who's the first Jew who's ever run.
And he says he's not even a good Jew.
You have more tax-deductible churches in this fucking country getting billions of dollars off of my tax money every fucking year, and you still sit there and whine and cry like a fucking victim! Fuck you!
Yes, okay. Now, young William, before we lose all of our... Before we lose everybody...
I'm sorry.
One last clip. Our friend Bill Nye, the science guy... in 8 seconds, will tell you everything you want to know about how valid Christianity is. Let's listen to Bill Nye, the science guy.
Bill Nye, the science guy on Randy's Rant, which just turned into Bill's Rant, sorry.
That's all right.
Okay, here it is. Bill Nye, the science guy. You're on the Bill Show 145.
If somewhere within the Bible, I were to find a passage that said 2 + 2 = 5. I wouldn't question what I'm reading in the Bible. I would believe it, accept it as true, and then do my best to work it out and to understand it.
That just makes no fucking sense. I mean, it's just bullshit. Fuck. Oh my. My, my.
It just makes no fucking sense. If it says 2 + 2 = 5 in the Bible, I'll believe it.
Where did you get that? Where did you get that?
Well, it's just on YouTube. It's just Bill Nye the Science Guy commentating on people that believe science is bullshit.
Yeah, and, that's right.
And I just, that's funny. It's just a wonderful combination of clips, that's all.
Yeah, it's quite good. Okay, well, listen, is there anything else that you have for us today?
No, it was just a little, I just want to remind people that America and its founding fathers did not expect, because they were all humanists, you know, they were all rational humanists. They might have gone to church, but they believed they were humanists, and they do not believe America is a Christian nation.
No, and that's one of the reasons that America has that, is because they came from a British Empire that had the
head of state was the head of the church,
the Anglican Church, that controlled the government, and one of the reasons that that's in the Constitution is because they had come from a veritable theocracy before, and they didn't want to create one here.
Exactly.
So I'm sorry, guys, if the Constitution is a problem, maybe you you in Texas should probably look for real estate fucking elsewhere because it's not a Christian country. I'm sorry. So
it's an everybody. It's a homogenous country.
Well, it's this, you know, it's very similar. We talked about with Hillary Clinton supporters is a sense of entitlement. If you want entitlement, go to the evangelical, any kind of cult kind of thing, even whether it's Hillary or Christianity, is A, they're victims, and B, they're entitled.
They're entitled, yeah. Like that.
They're entitled victims. Yeah, totally, they're, you know. Yeah. And it's very true of the evangelicals as well. They're just
scam evangelicals, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, do we go to tinfoil hats now?
I think so. Oh, hey, is that okay. Somebody at the door again?
Oh, somebody at the door. You know, I think I might know who it is, Randy.
Oh, no, I don't think so. It's not Santa Claus.
No,
well, you sure not going to be hot. You're going to have a flame shooting
out
of your mouth. How are we going to get rid of this guy? How are we going to get rid of this guy? How are we going to get rid of this guy?
Watch out.
Randall.
How are we going to get rid of this guy?
I don't know, but he's wearing a very attractive dress.
No, please leave. Pastor Manning, thank you very much.
Yes.
We'll see you.
Thank you very much, man.
Goodbye. We'll put something in the collection plate on the way out. Thank you.
Thank you, hon. Thank you.
Bye.
Get my phone calls. Okay. So we'll be right back with our tinfoil hats for show 145 right after this quick break.
Of course, Kasich is doing better in New York than Ted Cruz, who famously attacked what he called New York values. So instead of him campaigning a lot, Cruz is sending out his wife, Heidi, a former New York resident who recently shared some fond memories.
New York does hold a very, very special place in my heart. As I mentioned, this was the state of my first job out of college. I love the smell of New York.
I'm sorry, didn't you say you lived here for a while? Nobody likes the smell of New York. Even the Statue of Liberty lit a match. But maybe I'm... But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Heidi Cruz is onto something. So I sent a camera crew out to the streets to talk to real New Yorkers to find out what their city smells like. Take a whiff.
New York smells like chestnuts and exhaust.
Yeah. So far, I would say pizza and urine.
Like a wet homeless lady touching my face. I'm not even kidding.
Walk around the city. Oh, what I smell. It smells really good, then it smells really bad.
Some good smells like the pizza. Other than that, I mean, it smells like traffic, car, burnt gas, you know?
Batman sweat.
What is Batman sweat?
Sweat that comes off Batman. It's obvious.
Cleaning solvents in subway stations, decaying stench of old fluids and things like that.
New York is the best, man. You know what I'm saying? New York is good. It smells good. Some part is bad, though. We got big rats doing stuff.
Okay, all in all, not too bad. Those are all true New York smells. Yeah. Oh, and there's one more thing New York smells like.
Doo-doo.
Thank you, Senator.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's the song, that's the tune that we listen to every time we see the news and commentary that we listen to that hates our own heads. I think I just completely screwed that intro.
Blew that one.
I blew it. But yes, it is our tinfoil hats.
It's all over your face. Yeah, go on. Are we still recording?
I'm still recording.
Okay, you might as well humiliate yourself in public. No, I shouldn't have all the humiliation for myself.
No. This is an equal...
Val's hanging out for this. Bill, you are your own tinfoil hat, so you don't have to do one this week.
That's right. I do have one. I have one.
Okay.
It's an oldie but a goodie. But first, Randy, what have you got for us today?
Well, continuing on a theme, our friend from Arizona, Pastor Steven Anderson.
Yes.
Women should stay in their place, and when their husband comes home, open the Legos. He's at it again. He will not pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Okay.
For a variety of reasons, mainly because Well, I guess David Manning, James David Manning, must have got to him because
don't mention his name.
In June,
he's actually June, outside the door, so don't you know he'll come in
yeah,
again.
I'll
we don't
whisper
want
that,
that
bit. June, I think in America is kind of same sex month or something like that.
Right,
diversity.
Yeah.
That's right, diversity month. And because diversity could include people who practice sodomy,
yeah.
I wish they'd stop practicing and getting it right.
Thank you very much. All right, get to the point.
Now, okay, Pastor Stephen Anderson will not pledge allegiance to the flag, and which I thought you really had to do if you were in America. And here are his reasons.
Oh, he's going to tell us about them. Oh, good.
Himself.
Yeah, okay, with his own mouth. Okay, yeah. Pastor Stephen Anderson talking about why America pisses him off or something. I don't know. It's, here it is.
Hey, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through.
Amen.
And I'm not going to sit there and swear allegiance to that flag of the United States of America, no matter how perverted our nation becomes, even when our nation just openly says, June, we're celebrating sodomy. In the month of June, we as a nation, through the power of the United States Constitution, are celebrating sodomy for a complete month. Yeah. I pledge allegiance to the American flag. To the republic for which it stands. One nation corrupt, perverted, promoting abortion and homosexuality to all. I'm not going to do it, my friend. Get mad at me. Quit the church. Go find some Baptist church that'll have the both flags that you like. American flag, Christian flag. Throw in an image of a long-haired Jesus into the mix while you're offering strange fire unto the Lord. But in this church, we want to be biblical. Okay, we want to stay true to Scripture. I don't want anything to do with sodomy. It's wicked. I don't want anything to do with abortion. I don't want anything to do with the things that our country is starting to stand for. I don't want anything to do with trying to take over and occupy the whole world with military bases. I don't want to do that. I don't want any part of that. That's the New World Order. That's a one world government. It doesn't stand for anything that I stand for. Now, look, it'd be one thing if you said, well, you know what? In my personal life, that's how my politics are. Okay, fine, have your politics. But why are you bringing your politics into the house of God, the house of the Lord, and you're going to put your political banner? Look, there's no God that we bow to except Jesus Christ. There's one king in this building. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't acknowledge Obama's power in here. We don't acknowledge any earthly leader. We acknowledge Jesus Christ in this building. This is God's house. And you know, yeah, we have a human government that rules over aspects of our lives outside of this building. But inside of this building, this is God's house. He rules. We're going to swear our loyalty to him and him alone and not some earthly government. But the problem with making an oath or pledge or affirmation is that you might sit there and pledge allegiance, right? And then like 30 years later, what happens when that country is a totally different place? What happens when that country stands for something totally different? You've already pledged allegiance to it. I mean, that doesn't, you know, we don't want to do that. We don't want to get wrapped up in that.
So an earthly government is a problem for him. So I guess aliens coming down.
Diversity
that's
month. His worshiping sodomy. Diversity month, which we also have here in Australia, is usually mainly about women and different races. And it was celebrated in June because that was the month the first female cosmonaut flew for Russia in 1963. She became the sort of symbol of gender diversity. And that's what he's talking about.
That's because he doesn't know what it means, or B, is a dribbling moron, which I probably think he is. You know, and what is it about evangelical pastors and their absolute obsession with anal sex? What is it about?
I think if you try to psychoanalyze
talk
them,
about
you'd
it,
find out.
They talk about it so much. They just are obsessed about that little dickie going in that asshole. They have a big problem. I know,
Pastor
but come
Manning's
on.
Out. Pastor Manning's just out there.
Yeah, I know. He is. He, no,
you
he,
ain't Pastor seen Randy, nothing no, yet. And there'll be people walking around all over America with flames coming out of their buttholes.
God damn, Jesus. See what I mean? He's just obsessed with duty. Yeah. That's all. It's just
nobody gonna want to put a penis in a butthole with a flame coming out. The flame is coming out of that butthole, and nobody gonna put a penis in it.
Yeah, they'll do 20 minutes on it, and I'm going, if I was sitting there, I would be sitting there going, well, I think the lady protests too much.
You sounded just like Randy Rainbow just then.
I did
too.
You have thought of things that I never would have thought of, sweetie. Yeah,
but the point is Stephen Anderson,
you are one repressed
sermons last a whole hour, and they're all about women must bow and be subservient to their men and all that kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, off, really?
This guy really, seriously, when you listen to these people, you know that years of therapy couldn't help them. These people are really damaged. They're just damaged, repressed, damaged, hateful, you know, and you find them in the evangelicals, but you also find them in, of course, Al-Qaeda, and you find them in...
Well, it's
in
the extremes. It's extremism, isn't it?
The fringe groups of every religion, yeah. And they're mad. And these people, by the way, there are thousands of them in the South. And they come off as really nice people, except when you mention gays. Then my God, oh my God, it's like somebody was trying to pick them up. No one's interested.
Well,
in you
know this. On that point, this North Carolina, South Carolina thing. Everybody's because North Carolina passed this anti-gay legislation. Everybody's canceling films to be shot there, concerts, everything.
Yeah.
North Carolina's going, what? What?
Yes,
what do we do? What do we do?
But I want to send out a Bill Show Cheer Squad right now to my favorite guy, the boss, Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, Bruce canceled. Wicked, the musical, Stephen Schwartz. Said none of my musicals, Godspell, Pippin, Hunchback of Notre Dame, none of them.
You get
none of
no
them
musicals.
Will play
That's it. None.
North Carolina. Oh, no, none of the Stephen Schwartz musicals. So,
none. So, I mean, listen, when Toyota, which I understand is thinking about pulling out of their plant in South Carolina... Yeah. When people go away and take their bucks with them, we'll just see how obsessed you are about homosexuality and stuff.
They'll start blowing each other in the streets just to keep Toyota there.
Thank you
that
for that
picture. Oh, sorry. Yeah, one scene.
As ever.
Yeah, sorry.
As ever.
Sorry, Val.
Mr. Smutty Mouth. Yeah. Okay, listen.
I want to hear yours.
Mine actually has something to do with Uncle Pat. Uncle Pat got out of his cryogenic freeze chamber.
He's sitting right next to Walt Disney.
He is, actually, seriously. He's 300 years old, but he has his own network, of course. Why not? So Uncle Pat came out, and he basically said that the idea of transsexuals going to bathrooms in their acquired or newly acquired sex really bothers him.
It caused all the flooding in Texas.
Because transsexuals don't really exist. Transsexuals are just putting it on to inconvenience him. Now, I happen to know some lovely people who are actually transsexuals, and I'm telling you, with the amount of fucking shit that you go through as a transsexual, I mean, the suicide rate amongst transsexuals...
Are you talking about gender reassignment?
Reassignment, yes. Not transsexual, sorry, but gender reassignment.
The actual surgical snip-snip unkindest cut of all.
Yes,
that
kind of thing. Yeah. When you sign up for that, you're signing up for a world of rejection, hurt, and the suicide rate amongst transsexuals is through
and
the roof.
Incredible pain. So, it's very painful to have all those bits cut out.
It's very painful. No one chooses this to annoy you, Uncle Pat. No one chooses the absolute horseshit of having to deal with bigots like you day in, day out on purpose.
They often get it confused with transvestitism, which is like just men who like to wear women's clothes. And somebody was saying that's what the problem was. And I'm thinking, no, you've got it wrong. Yeah.
Here's Uncle Pat out of his cryogenic phase, saying exactly what he believes right here on the Tinfoil Hats for Show 145. Uncle Pat,
we love you.
Pat, it has become quite a bitter debate.
I am simply appalled. And ladies and gentlemen, you've got all this outrage on these people. A lot of them, you know, think they're a woman trapped in a man's body, and then 10 years later they say, well, I made a mistake. Yeah, sure. Okay. But in Saudi Arabia, they're going to execute maybe as many as 100 homosexuals. They will be executed because they're practicing homosexuals. Why don't the Bruce Springsteens of this world and these others go out and begin an outrage against Saudi Arabia? Instead of Charlotte, North Carolina. But I think it's just perfectly reasonable to say, look, we don't want men going into women's bathrooms. We don't want predators going out where little girls are. We don't want voyeurs having free access to the women's locker rooms during games when they're changing clothes. We just don't want that. And I think that's perfectly reasonable. And why people are in such outrage about this whole thing, we haven't heard much about this transgender stuff until about the last 5 years or so. And I said on this program several years ago, if somebody, honest to goodness, feels that she is a woman trapped in a man's body, then she has a perfect right to take hormones and to have surgery and to change to what she really feels and think of somewhere along the way there was a biological mistake. But people like that are relatively rare. So much of this other stuff is put up, it's put on, and it's just a fraud. And it's one more opportunity for the left to demonstrate against some aggrievement they claim to have that doesn't exist. This is a phony cause to get involved in. And, I've got to look after the transgenders. This is nonsense. I believe, as I say, there's no sin if somebody has some kind of hormones going for male and some kind of body part goes for female, and somewhere along the way the person has got to decide which gender they are. There's nothing wrong with that. No problem. But to make a cause celebre and tear a city apart and boycott cities and all the rest of it because they want to protect the dignity of their own people is just absurd.
And who?
I hate it when he's magnanimous.
Yes,
I hate it when he. Yeah.
And who can argue with that?
Who can argue with Ritter Schreiner?
I tell you, people are not transsexual simply because they want to go and watch girls.
They certainly are not.
They are not. They're not doing it to see women go to the bathroom. I mean, you know, and then again, there we go again. They are so obsessed with the potty parts. They are just so obsessed with their potty parts. Potty parts make them crazy. It's like it's like throwing a blood into a tank with sharks in it. They're just potty parts, you know? I mean, that's like...
But a confirmed homosexual is not a child molester or a pedophile or any of that.
Absolutely, they're getting statistically
it all,
wrong.
They're getting it all mixed up.
Yeah, it's statistically wrong. The percentages of heterosexual pedophiles is much bigger, and it's usually in the Catholic Church.
Exactly.
You know, it's usually in a church, Pat, that has been happening, okay? I don't see that many people who are gay molesting children. I mean, there are some, but they're usually bishops and priests right now.
Yeah.
So,
but they don't consider themselves homosexuals. They just consider themselves...
Yeah.
What'd you call it? Entitled.
Or just, you know, guys that... What is it Angels in America, there's a wonderful line where he says, I am not gay. I am a man
who fucks around with other men. I'm a heterosexual that fucks around with other men. It's like, that's the distinction. That is the distinction.
Yeah.
And that was my best Al Pacino.
I have varied tastes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just because I like caviar doesn't mean I have scrambled eggs once in a while.
That's right. I like scrambled eggs, by the way. I'm a scrambled egg guy. But then again, none of my things. We're going to get away from the potty parts because...
I've got something special for the fans.
Yeah.
After we say goodbye today.
After we say goodbye. I got to tell you, our fan base may have constricted a bit considering what our political feelings towards Bernie. I think that...
Fuck them. I don't care. As long as Val's still there. Val's a Bernie girl.
Val's a Bernie girl. And all you Bernieites, we feel you, dude.
And Cenk. Cenk Uygur, he may be listening today. Hello, Cenk.
Hello, Cenk. You know, the one thing that I really came away with this week is that the misunderstanding of the fact that Bernie's not talking about just a candidacy. Bernie's talking about
a revolution.
A revolution.
He calls it that, and it is.
That's what he says. It's not egocentric like that. He's talking about policy. He's talking about the things we need to do and must do if we are to combat climate change and if we are to avert an economic catastrophe when these banks fall again into a Great Depression that we won't be able to bail ourselves out of. He understands that if you don't get money out of politics, you lose your democracy. And this is not a cause for incremental change. This is a cause for people to rise up and demand their democracy back. And it's not about his candidacy. So until the Clinton guys kind of get around the fact that we are actually sincere and not as cynical as they are, they're going to have a hard time dealing with the fact that we're still in the race.
Exactly.
Yeah. So there you go. So we're not all as cynical as you are, though. Thank you very much. We don't want anything. Why don't I just say this before we go? If you would like to further abuse me.
Yeah,
go ahead, send it. We have our Facebook site, which has some memes on it, and that Facebook site is the Bill Shows on Bill Show on XPR. We also can be reached at our home base, expatprogressive.podbean.com,
and thebillshow.net.
And thebillshow.net. Everything Bill Show in one place. We're featured also on Stitcher Radio. Stitcher Radio, the place.
And iTunes.
The place to go if you want a show. That's right. Stitcher Radio, iTunes, and of course, Podbay FM. I think that's it. I think there are other platforms that have us. But what
can I just play us out with something special this week?
What do you have?
Well, an auspicious thing happened. As you know, I'm kind of a... we're both actors. We're both theater people.
Yes, we are.
And this week, a musical on Broadway won the Pulitzer Prize.
Wow.
Now, this has only happened 9 times in the last... When does the Pulitzer started in the 40s, I think?
Right.
Only happened 9 times has it won the Pulitzer Prize for drama.
Right.
South Pacific, Sunny in the Park with George, Rent, Fiorello... and of the I Sing, I think was the first one. Anyway, the one to win is an odd fish, but it is so booked out you can't get a ticket for 2 years.
Right.
It's called Hamilton.
Hamilton.
It's about the guy on the $10 bill, or for a little while at least.
Hamilton.
Yeah, Hamilton. And it's by a wonderful guy who writes everything, the music, the book, the lyrics, the lot. Mm. His name is Lin-Manuel Miranda. Mm. You'll see him on the Tony Awards. He will win the Tony Awards. He will win every award this year, I'm absolutely sure. There's some wonderful... It won the Grammy Award for the cast album, which is amazing.
Right.
Because it is literally a sung-through piece.
It's an opera, kind of. If opera
well, basically,
was,
yeah. It's a hip-hop... Hip-hop opera.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'd like to play the opening number.
Sure.
From Hamilton, about the first U.S. Treasury Secretary and part of the Revolution. He is really one of the founding fathers, who unfortunately was killed in a duel by his best friend, Aaron Burr, but which is part of the story. It's not a spoiler.
No, he
it's
dies.
Part of history. It's
he
part
dies.
Of history.
Okay, so...
But anyway, I'd like to play this opening number. It's Alexander Hamilton from the musical Hamilton.
Okay, we'll see you next time on The Bill Show.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.
world as a bastard, orphan, son of a whore and a Scotsman, dropped in the middle of a forgotten spot in the Caribbean by providence, impoverished and squalor. Grow up to be a hero and a scholar. The $10 founding father without a father got a lot farther by working a lot harder, by being a lot smarter, by being a self-starter. By 14, they placed him in charge of a trading charter.
And every day while slaves were being slaughtered and carted away across the waves, he struggled and kept his guard up. Inside, he was longing for something to be a part of. The brother was ready to beg, steal, borrow, or barter.
Then a hurricane came and devastation rained. Our man saw his future drip, dripping down the drain. Put a pencil to his temple, connected it to his brain, and he wrote his first refrain, a testament to his pain. Well, the word got around and said this kid is insane, man. Took up a collection just to send him to the mainland. Get your education, don't forget from whence you came, and the world's gonna know your name. What's your name, man?
Alexander Hamilton. My name is Alexander Hamilton, and there's a million things I haven't done, but just you wait, just you wait.
When he was 10, his father split, full of it, debt-ridden. 2 years later, see Alex and his mother bedridden, half dead, sitting in their own sick, the scent thick.
And Alex got better, but his mother went quick.
Moved in with a cousin, the cousin committed suicide. Left him with nothing but ruined pride. Something new inside, a voice saying, Alex, you gotta fend for yourself. He started retreating and reading every treatise on the shelf.
There would have been nothing left to do for someone less astute. He would have been dead or destitute without a cent or restitution. Started working, clerking for his late mother's landlord, trading sugar, cane, and rum, and all the things he can't afford.
With him.
Me, I died for him.
Me,
I trusted him.
Me, I loved him.
And me, I'm the damn fool that shot him.
There's a million things I haven't done.